So we were over there talking, and somehow it came up, the taco. And I think because Aaron went with Linda when she had to go. I don't know if Scott was there too. He might have been. But when they had to go send him on his merry way. And she said, yeah. And I told her the whole story about the ashes and, you know, how distraught I was and all this. And she's just laughing because she knows Linda, of course, very well. And she said, well, let me tell you this. While we were sitting at the vet, getting him put to sleep, she was on her phone shopping for another dog.
Poor Taco.
Cold-hearted. Cold-hearted Aunt Linda.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black-clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail-painting home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Episode 181 of Designer Cornbread Podcast. We are glad you're here and glad that we hit record.
Hoot hoot, you are in the house.
In the house. Spring is in the air. The robins are singing and the chickens are flapping and, you know.
You've been around a lot of chickens flapping, have you?
All the time, daily. No, but I'll tell you what does flap, and actually this is something I wanted to mention. Morning doves, you know, the beautiful morning doves, they make the most beautiful coo coo sound, and they're pretty and they mate for life and they're always in pairs. They are the most chaotic flying birds. We have a bird feeder.
Not all be graceful, Holly.
They are not, but they look like they're gonna be, and they're so pretty and they sound pretty. And we've got several bird feeders right outside of our bedroom window. It's a nice window and we watch the birds, and we were outside all day Sunday doing stuff. And they are the most chaotic. They land in total calamity. It's just, they make this noise and they flop down and then there they are. And if I get up, they flap and they hit the window and they're just,
you're flipping and flopping.
I think, I don't know if it's like extra. I mean, they're always that way, but I think there might be a little springtime.
They Twitter baited.
I think there might be a little.
Twitter baited.
They're all trying to get their girls, and it's extra chaotic right now. So you have to be on the lookout. From the one hit the window so hard, it left like a wing print, like it left its whole body print just on the window. I'm like, are you concussed? Are you okay down there? Oh, he was fine. I mean, he flew away. Anyway, that's the news from my house. Right. What's going on there?
Well, I have a sad story. Do you want me to tell a sad story?
I just told such a funny, happy story.
Oh, you did.
Yes. I guess I would love to hear a sad story.
Well, I have seen a lot of good in humanity. It's a result of tragedy, but so here we go. One of my students last Monday night was coming into town and ended up being the first on the scene of a fatal accident.
Oh no.
And a car had a head on with a truck. Mm. And it was a grandfather, a grandmother, and a baby. And the grandmother and the baby, neither one were strapped in.
Oh, gosh.
So now, Friday, the fire department had been in my class and, you know, taught him CPR and rescue stuff and the Heimlich maneuver and all this. So all this is pretty fresh on his mind. And he pulls up and he tells me, he said, Ms. Shank, he said, I could tell that the woman was dead. And I assessed everything and decided it was safer for me to get the baby out than leave it in there. but he had to move the dead woman's body.
Oh, gosh.
Baby. Now, this is a fresh 18-year-old. I mean, he just turned 18.
Like, should not be seeing any of this or having to deal with this.
No. And, but, so he gets the baby out and he feels guilty. He said the baby had shallow breath and, but had a pulse. So he didn't have to have CPR. And, the man was screaming for help, but he's Ms. Shank. He's, there was nothing I could do to help him. And, but he feels so guilty.
Yeah, of course.
And this guy is always happy. I mean, he's just so, and he was just broken, you know, just could barely hold his head up. And so I told my class, all of this, well, they called two helicopters and, I think the man died before they even got him loaded.
Oh, shoot.
So, anyway, and then they airlifted the baby to, I think, Vanderbilt. But he was so broken when he came in. And after I saw him, I just looked at my class and I said, guys, y'all are in the presence of a hero right now. And I did not go into detail. I just, you know, said, you know, he's saved a baby, pulled this baby out of this wreck. He's first on the scene. I just kind of gave him the little details. And I told him, I said, you can talk about it if you want to, but you don't have to. It's whatever, however you want to handle this. I said, but I was going to teach on poultry today. I'm not doing that. I said, I'm going to stop class and we're going to celebrate him today. And I said, who wants pizza? And so I ordered pizza. And the girl that I've got rider driver forms where I can send them out on errands. And so the girl that I was sending to pick it up was kind of standing to the side of my desk when he came around behind my desk. And he said, Ms. Shank, can you help me with something? I said, sure. What do you need? And he said, I don't know how to get out. And he just stopped and tears were running down his face. And he said, I don't want to say anymore. And but I followed his eyes and I looked down and on his shoe, there was a big blood stain on his shoe. And I said, yeah, we'll work on getting that out. Give me just a second. Well, the girl standing beside me said, come with me. I'm going to help you. And so she went, got like wet rags and stuff and was helping him with that. But they went to get pizza and they were gone longer than they should have been gone. And so I called. I said, where are y'all? And they said, we're about to pull in. We're about to pull in. Well, I went and I opened the back door for them. And when she got out of the car, she was holding a bag from the shoe store here. And they'd gone and bought him a new pair of shoes.
Oh, gosh.
And I just lost it.
Now you're totally a puddle on the floor at this point.
But
what a kind and practical
thing. I got in touch with the fireman and I said, hey, he's not doing great. Advise me here with what I need to say or do or whatever. They said, we're on our way.
Yeah.
So they came up and these were the two that worked the wreck with him. And they came up and pulled him out of my class and, you know, and talked with him for a long time. And just, you know, that come by they gave him their cell phone numbers and come by the station. You can't carry this by yourself.
Yeah.
You
that they know that this is, they've all experienced the first time of that. And
they told him, they said, look, this is what we do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
You've seen this. It never gets easier. And they said, but this was especially bad. And none of us slept last night either.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, I can't sleep. So every time I close my eyes, I just keep seeing it all. And
yeah,
you know, he's just really, he's really, really struggling. Well, then, Tuesday night, that was all Tuesday during the day. And then Tuesday night, the baby died.
Oh no, Joni.
So that was, you know, I mean, he could cling to, you know, I mean, we made him out.
But you know,
he's a hero. And what I told him, I pulled him out the next day and I just said, hey, I pulled him out on the patio. I said, can I pray for you? And he said, please, Ms. Shank. And so I did. Then he just cried and cried and cried and hugged me and, you know, but I said, let me tell you what you did. I said, I know this didn't turn out like you wanted it to, like any of us wanted this to. But you gave those parents a chance to say goodbye.
Yeah.
You gave those parents a chance to hold
some precious hours.
Baby. Yeah. You know, and I said, Kentucky. That's nobody can take that away from them. I said, it's a lot different to be able to say goodbye and to hold on to that baby one more time instead of just boom, here's a cold dead baby in a casket, you know?
Yeah. The baby to not be alone, like just that whole scenario again, as horrible as it is.
Yes.
That was a gift that he gave. I mean, that was.
Yeah, it was. So, but he feels so much guilt and he's just struggling. So it's been, I told my pastor Wednesday night, I said, I don't know how you shepherd a whole flock. He said, what? I said, I've got one student right now that I'm, so.
Right. Burned. And it's your world.
And it's
like, it's your whole world right now.
I am emotionally exhausted.
I'm drained.
Oh, do you do?
I don't know how they do it. That's one thing I'm literally like, I am not, I'm grateful God did not call me to that because I'm clearly not cut out for that.
But I've been able, I mean, in all the midst of this and the heartache, and the principal did thankfully say, if you need to take a couple of days, take them. I'm not going to hold them against you. And he did, which was good. But even today, he still is struggling.
Wonder if he'll have a chance to, not that anybody needs to do any of this. It's whatever and if each wants to do, but if he's had a chance to meet the parents or talk with the parents, that might help him a little bit.
He has. They've called him and they called him to tell him they were taking the baby off of life support.
Oh, and that's hard. That's a lot for him to hear.
Yeah. It's a lot. I told Ron, I said, Ron, if I've been coming up Florence Road by myself at 56 years old and come across that, I said, I would be traumatized. I mean,
you'd act. And it's exactly what he did was he instincts and the knowledge he had kicked in, and he did the very best that could be done in his abilities. But it doesn't matter whether you're a fireman or you're 56 or you're 18, that's going to leave a mark.
That's what I said. I said, I can't imagine coming up on it.
Yeah.
At 18 years old, you 18, we're not,
yeah.
I can't by myself. I mean, you don't have anybody going through that with you. I mean, you're just in the middle of all the horror by yourself.
Well, you might want to tell him too, not that I'm giving any advice, but by any means, but buddy, I'd be a lot more worried about you if you didn't feel the way you did.
Yeah, exactly.
You were
right.
Feeling exactly what a human being with a heart and love would feel. So you were doing just as any human would be doing, and I'd be worried if you didn't.
And I know it's hard, and I want to tell him this too. I just haven't had a chance to. Wednesday night, I'm sitting in church, and this woman is sitting in front of me, church, and started, and she's all, excited, talking about how well her kids are doing on bowling team, and just blah, blah, blah. And she should be, she should be happy. She should have joy. She should have, and I'm sitting there going, I'm smiling, trying to, nodding and all that. But inside I'm going, will you just shut up? Do you have any idea what's going on here? Because you carry all that heaviness with you.
You do.
Your son's great on the bowling team. Whoopee, these people are dead. My student is struggling.
I know.
And I want to tell him that's normal because I know every prom is coming up Saturday. Everybody else is happy and laughing and carrying on. And I know he feels like looking at him going, will you people shut up?
Right.
Do you have any idea?
Yeah.
It's not, and I'm not saying, I would have never said that to that woman. It's just how when you're facing tragedy.
Yes. It's all encompassing. And the fact that, and this happens every time someone in your family passes away and you're planning, let alone something very sudden and trauma, but you're planning a funeral. You're so encompassed and engrossed in all that, that when it's all done, it's hard to imagine that the world is still going on.
Hearted and fun and happy stuff in the meantime, in the midst of this muck.
Yeah.
And it's hard to
It's hard to put the two things together. It really is. And your brain just kind of wants to.
So, yeah, I want to tell him that, you know, because I certainly don't mean that against that woman. She had, you know, and most of the time I'd be, you know, right there with her all happy. But what he's going through and everybody else around him being happy and excited and being high school students.
Right.
It's normal for him to, you know, to be like, it, you know, I'll shut up kind of thing. So
yeah, he's just got a different perspective right now because it's really close and really something personal that he's witnessed, and he'll get there. He'll get to laughing and doing all the things again, and he'll get to feeling that that's okay. And the guilt and, you know, all that, that for being happy. I mean, we all have to learn to do that, or else we're stuck in that for forever. So we do it more and more often the older we get. So,
yeah. And I told you, you know, Ron and I came across that, you know, we were first on the scene with that fatal accident in Missouri.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't think it was anywhere near as gruesome as what he encountered. But it was still hard. It took me weeks to just get back to life.
Yeah, you know? For sure. For sure. Yep. Wow. Well, that's so sad that's just tragic. And you hate that one of your, you know, like you said, a young person had to kind of be a part of that. But we believe that that's for a reason, that God, not that I'm not going to get into the all, why would a babe? I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer to that.
I just said, look,
I don't know.
What I learned, the older I get, my grandmother used to say it all the time, and I say it more and more and more. The older I get is I don't understand, but I trust you.
Yeah. And there was a purpose for him being there is what I'm saying. You know, we don't know, but
well, not only that, but he was coming down Pickwick Road and a car pulled out in front of him and was driving kind of erratically. And he said, forget this. And he cut over and went down Florence Road. Mm. Had he not done that, he wouldn't have been there. You know, and I just said, I believe, and I said, I know you're hurting and I hate that you saw it, but I believe you were, you know, ordained to be there.
You were to be there, and not just for them. I'm going to go further and believe it's for him too.
And yeah, right.
It's for him. There's good, there's growth, there's compassion, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's just going to get stirred up and strengthened in him, and it's for him too. So, geez, poor guy.
God sees what we don't see, so.
Yep. Well, now I can have nothing to talk about. Now I don't feel like, telling you about the new tool that Tim got that's called Grandpa's Weed Puller. Is any importance?
Yes.
But I'm going to tell you anyway.
Tell me.
I don't know. He just ordered this thing and it came in the biggest box you've ever seen from Amazon. I mean, the biggest box. I was like, what in the world long? And I opened it up and it's just one of those old wooden, on a wood, big long handle. And there's some metal thing you stick in the ground and then you pull back just like an old, and it was called Grandpa's Weed Puller. And I was like, who? And
bend over, yes.
You don't have to bend over.
Like the claw. Remember the claw?
Yes.
Get in and twist it.
Yes, yes.
Grabber.
It does. It doesn't twist, but it does. It closes up when you pull it back, like it pushes on something and it closes. I don't know, but he was out there all proud.
My grandma was in the wheelchair, you know, and she had that long stick that would grab things.
The grabber.
Yeah, the grabber.
Yeah. So this is Grandpa's weed grabber. But I was like, really? Okay, whatever makes you, whatever floats your boat. And then also on another note that is probably wildly inappropriate, as you just told that story, but I've started watching ER again. So thank you for that.
Welcome.
It's life.
You're watching ER.
I can't do the pit, but Tim was like, hey, ER's on. And we watched the first episode. So I'm on like episode, I'm like rewatching ER and enjoying that from back. If you know, ER had a stranglehold on us in the 90s, you guys.
What's it on? Is it
HBO?
HBO. Okay. I don't have HBO.
Yeah. I think it's on HBO. It's probably on something else too, but it's on HBO. And man, that music, doo-doo. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm back. It's the 90s.
That's right. You did not miss an episode of
You didn't. You did not. And the whole Thursday night TV lineup was literally called, young people that don't have any idea, it was called Must See TV. That was their tagline that they created for that NBC Thursday night lineup, because that was the best night of TV of the week.
It was Friends and Seinfeld.
And then a couple, I even looked it up because I'm like, what else was on? Tim and I were trying to remember. We're like, what? Because it was usually like four sitcoms, and then the 9 o'clock hour here Central Time was the big drama, was ER. It was on at 9. And Friends started it off at 7. Back way back in the day, Cosby was at 7, like in the 80s. So that was like that, but it was Friends. And then it was like, it alternated between like Mad About You. You remember Mad About You?
Loved Mad About You.
That was a cute show.
Well, I was pretty sure Ron and I decided somebody had a hidden camera on us somewhere, because, I mean, we would talk about something and like a week or two later, it would be on that show.
It'd be on Mad About You.
It would be on, yeah. And we were like, okay.
You're like, wait a minute.
So many times that we were like, okay, for real. There's like a
Well, young couple get, you know, newly married. I guess we just all sort of go through some of the same things. But they were, that was cute. It was Helen Hunt and Paul Reiser. Paul Reiser?
Yes.
None of you kids have ever heard of any of these people. And then Seinfeld, of course, big, big hit. And then it was like Wings. There was like, remember the show Wings?
I loved Wings too. Yes.
And then some other, I think maybe Frasier at some point came on during that, which that was a really big, very pretty big hit, spinoff from Cheers. Anyway, but I had to go down a little memory lane because I'm like, man. And Tim was like, yeah, I mean, like, it was on, again, none of the children understand this. So we're here, Auntie and Grammy, Joni and Holly are here to tell you there was no streaming. There was no, I know there's a few shows now that, you know.
We didn't have TVs in every room in the house.
No, you had your living room TV.
Yeah, you sat down as a family and you watched.
Or if someone didn't want to watch that and it was your favorite and it was your night to, you know, whatever. Now this is the 90s, so we're like grown up and married now, you know, so we're not like having to share the TV with our whole family or whatever, but I was just like, you know, and then only at the point where, and we didn't get a VCR till I was in high school, and they'd been out for a little while. I'm pretty sure I was in high school. And then, but even those first VCRs didn't do this, but so at some point, the best you could do, guys, was try to figure out how to set the timer on your, there was a way on your VCR. To record, you know, you could set it for the channel you wanted and 9 o'clock and it would record whatever was on then. But God forbid that the president would jump in or there'd be any bad weather and we have to have a delay on the news and people breaking in, and then you're just totally screwed.
That's right.
No ER for you. It was a time, you guys. We didn't know. You never knew if you got home. You know, if you happen to be out, which that's your own fault if you're out on Thursday night. I don't know what you're doing.
Well, you know, remember Wednesday nights when like Charlie Brown or something, you know, they would play those Christmas specials once a year. They would play. I mean, it was a once a year thing. We didn't have DVDs. We didn't have, you know, anything. It came on TV.
It came on.
And if it was a Wednesday night or a Sunday night, because we all went to church, you were screwed.
You guys did. The good Presbyterians, we didn't have church on Wednesday. We were good to go. I don't think it was on a Wednesday. I feel like they were always on Tuesdays or I feel like.
I don't know, but.
I don't know either, but you're right. You took a chance. You didn't know. And you had to know ahead of time. And kids, how did we know ahead of time? You got this magazine called TV Guide.
TV Guide.
Or if you were cheap like we were, you just looked in the paper. I guess it was in the newspaper, wasn't it, Joni? There was a TV. We had a TV like print thing in the ye old times of the newspaper. Right. My gosh, we're so old. Oh my gosh.
I don't know. Look, it was a lot easier back then. It just was. All these smart things I figured out, they're not very smart.
Well, I know. And as we've said, you know, again, how many streaming services we sit there. And I mean, how many times have you been like, I can't find anything to watch? And you're flipping through 50 million quadrillion choices and we still can't find nothing to watch. I'm like, I don't know. I feel like we always could find something. Not always. That's true. There was a lot of.
Yeah, but it was. I mean, I even talk about, like, you know, Ron and the boys, they get all these different things and we've got smart TV and it has to do this. And my kids are like, well, push this button and then you push this button and then you push this button and then you plug this in and you push this button. I've got like 15 steps. And I'm like, we used to turn on and then when the remote, it was a channel.
Yes.
And that's all you had to do.
Now, the worst trouble, I'm not going to glorify because we've got to be real here. The worst trouble, though, is you had the antenna. You could not, your picture was not good. The struggles we had with the antenna.
I think cable. I mean, really, I mean, we weren't too much.
Well, we didn't have cable. We never got cable till I was gone and married. Anyway,
y'all were in the city.
Yeah, well, only the city had cable.
I know, but
my parents didn't have cable.
I'll pick that more channel. You know what?
Not really. I had 6-7 channels tops.
Yeah. Oh, we had three. We had three. Yeah. Oh, four. If you count PBS, we had four.
Yeah, we had three. We had three networks, PBS, and then we had two local, little smaller local channels that did all the reruns and all the, you know.
Yeah,
all that stuff.
The three.
I know. So
and PBS.
But the antenna was a trial. It was a trial, y'all, because your picture would just.
And you remember, like with the VCR, you just turned it up. Maybe it had to be on channel 3 or something like that.
You had to set the channel.
But you just turned it on and put your thing in.
Yeah. And it would start automatically.
And if you turned it off, it went back to TV.
Yeah.
That was easy. Now it's like, well, you got to plug in the HDMI cord and you've got
to move into the right input slot and the output of the export of the import. And I'm like, and then you got to type in on the, not even type, but you got to move the thing across the alphabet to type in some password. I mean, you just can shoot me now.
I know.
Just shoot me now. And you know what's even more fun? Having a smart TV with a sweet mother-in-law with dementia.
Yeah, that is.
That's a good time, guys. That's about to come to an end, guys, because she can't work it at all. I mean, not that that's the height of, but like literally, we're researching. Maybe if anyone can help us, we just got to get her a TV. She's got a cable box, you know, at the place she lives. But we just need a TV with an easy. Tim even tried to get. They make remotes that are very simple that you can supposedly make work with your smart TV, but you mishit one button.
Yeah.
And it can't get back to wherever does the thing. Anyway, we're dealing with a whole other level.
Listen, y'all just roll me into Silver Dollar City, park me at the cabin, and I will live out the rest of my days.
Yes.
In happiness.
And bring us a iced lemonade. Bring us a little bevy.
Apple dumpling.
We want an apple dumpling. Okay, this is getting more complicated. We want an apple dumpling. And then at 3 o'clock, we're going to need a frozen lemonade or hot cider, depending on the weather.
Right.
Other than that, some taffy. I need some peppermint taffy.
I feel like you will be like that old woman that you just leave me here. And then like strangers are going to roll by and you're going to go get me some taffy.
For sure. Hey, you little sweetie, you need to run over there. Here's a dollar. Here's $20. Can you go get me some taffy? I will. I might do that. And they'll do it because I'll be this fun little old lady. And they'll be like, sure. So whatever. I don't know, you guys. I don't know how we got on this, but I have a quick story I need to tell you, though. I know you've got to run. What time do you have to? Are you all right?
Yeah, go on, talk right now.
Okay. No, I have an update story about the demise of Taco. Okay. Our buddy, Taco King of the Mexican Joaquinis. As we told you all, you guys have heard the Taco stories. We're not going to tell them all again. You just got to go back and listen to everything.
Real quick, Taco was Linda Vonderberghi's dog that was. the king of the tweenies. That's all they're...
He's part Chihuahua and part wiener dog. So he was a bundle of... And he came up to them and got adopted at their farm. He actually turned out to be Roger's dog, but either way, yes, Linda adopted. Anyway, nobody could touch him, growled at everybody, was this tiny little terror. Anyway, so as we know, as we found out, Taco passed away last summer, and Aunt Linda didn't let any of us know, till months and months later. And she sent us a picture, and he's like, he died in the summer. And we were like, what? And then we'd asked her, well, where's his ashes? What'd you do? And she proceeded to tell us that she didn't even pick him up from the vet.
Yeah.
She disrespected the king of the Mexican tweenies. And I gave her the look. I mean, she's talking about this. We're at dinner with John and Tim, and she's telling this story. And I mean, I gave her a look of just total disbelief. Because I was like, anyway, I know we're retelling this, but for people, I was just like, what do you mean you didn't go pick them up? Like, she's like, well, what am I going to do with them? Da, da, da. They have more dogs buried in their backyard here than I'll tell you what. I'm like, you would bury them or do something, sprinkle his ashes. And I said, Joni and I would have had a celebration of life for Taco. And you did nothing. You didn't even pick him up. So I was just in shock and devastation, and she just started laughing. Of course she did. Then I said, do they still have, go get them? And she's like, no, I don't know. And then she leaned over literally to John and said, go get some ashes out of the fire pit and go give them to those girls. Just get her off my back. So anyway, Linda, but here's the update. So, and I got this update from Erin, her daughter-in-law, who's married to Scott. We were over there, we had girl dinner over at their house the other day. They said, you want to come? And we just want to hang out, but we don't want to cook. Let's just do girl dinner. And we were like, yes. So it was just like cheese and meat and crackers and all that. So we were over there talking, and somehow it came up, the taco. And I think because Aaron went with Linda when she had to go. I don't know if Scott was there too. He might have been. But when they had to go send him on his merry way. And she said, yeah. And I told her the whole story about the ashes and, you know, how distraught I was and all this. And she's just laughing because she knows Linda, of course, very well. And she said, well, let me tell you this. While we were sitting at the vet getting him put to sleep, she was on her phone shopping for another dog.
Poor Taco.
Cold-hearted. Taco. Cold-hearted Aunt Linda was shopping for a dog.
That's awful.
I'm telling you, she's got a problem. Linda, I know you're listening because you listen every week and I get texts. Blum and I get texts. Anyway. So that was, I just shook my head. I said, that don't surprise me at all, Aaron. I said, that doesn't surprise. Then I also found out, though, which I did not know, my husband did not tell me this, not too long ago, probably, I don't know, Tim took our dog Sherlock in to have something done, probably just his nails, at the vet, probably before we were going a couple months ago or whatever, maybe in December or something. I don't know. And so he had to take him for me. I said, just take him. It's a Saturday and I'm blah, blah, blah. So we took him over there he never told me this, but he said, he was telling us that night. He said, well, I went with Sherlock and he said, and I actually asked them, I said, this is a weird question, but he asked the lady at the front desk of the vet, because we go to the same vet. I'm sorry, I didn't explain that. We go to the same vet as they do. And he said, this is a really weird question, but by any chance, we're friends with the Vonderburgies. Do you know them? Yes, of course. They've had a million dogs. They've been there a million times. By any chance, do you still have the ashes of their dog Taco?
Going to get it as a birthday gift.
No, because they said, oh my gosh, well, when, you know, and he was like, it was a while ago. He's like, they didn't pick up any chance they're still lurking around here. And the gal was really sweet. She said, no, she said, actually, we send them away to get done. And then they send them back if you want them. They like send them. So he's at some warehouse somewhere. I hope he haunts the car out of that place. I hope Taco
is wandering the warehouse.
Is wandering that warehouse just growling, scowling, and gritting his little teeth out. But I'll tell you what, I thought that was the sweetest thing that my husband did, that he never even told me he did that, that he was thoughtful enough to think, I know this is ridiculous, but my wife is very upset.
Over the Vonderbrugge's dog.
That Linda did not get Taco's ashes, and she would like to put a service on, a celebration of life for this dog. And anyway, that's the update. That's all I...
All right.
That's it.
Well, I do have to work the concession stand at the baseball game tonight. I think I am on the grill. I think I'm having to grill the hamburgers.
Okay, that's a good job because you just stand there and you just flip burgers.
I don't have to talk to people.
No, I like that job too. That's a good one. Okay, so you got a recipe for us?
I do, and I have already posted it, actually.
Nice.
But we are coming into close to Cinco de Mayo, and so I posted... I had to find out the recipe for churros.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a little Mexican dessert, and I'm not ready.
Well, the taco story just took you out, I know. It's in honor of Taco.
It is in honor of Taco.
And Cinco de Mayo. Maybe we change Cinco de Mayo to Taco Taco Day.
Taco Day.
And we send Aunt Linda, here's what we do. Every Cinco de Mayo, we send her tacos in the mail just to make her feel so bad about her disrespecting. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Where did it go? Yeah, that one. Here it is. I've already posted it, so I'm pulling it up. Okay, so for your churros, you are going to need 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1 tablespoon of light brown sugar, 1 teaspoon of vanilla extract, 1/2 teaspoon of salt, 1 cup of, a cup of all-purpose flour, and you're going to need vegetable oil for frying, 1/2 cup of granulated sugar, 2 teaspoons of ground cinnamon, and 2 eggs at room temperature.
Okay.
So, all right. So in your saucepan, you're going to heat up 1 cup of water, your butter, brown sugar, vanilla, and salt until the mixture comes to a rolling boil over medium high heat. Remember, anytime you're cooking with butter, it'll burn. So you've got to really watch that.
Okay.
So then you're going to, once it comes to a boil, you are going to remove that pan from the heat and add your flour all at once. You don't have to do it, you know, some.
Oh, okay.
At a time. So put all your flour in there and stir very swiftly, vigorously. Get wooden spoon's going to work best for that. So once all of your flour is incorporated, place the pan back on the medium-high heat and stir continuously for about 4 to 5 minutes until that dough is smooth. And it's going to form a skin on the bottom of the pan, and it'll start pulling away from the edges.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see what you mean. Like it'll start to kind of come together a little bit.
Yes. Okay. So it'll pull away from the edges. Anyway, it'll look more like a dough ball at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So then you're going to place that dough into just a medium bowl and allow it to cool for about 5 minutes. And then just while that's cooling, get like your Dutch oven and heat that oil, pour your oil in it and heat it over medium heat. You want it at least 1.5 inches, and get your oil to about 350 degrees. All right. So while all that's heating up and cooling down, in a shallow dish, mix your cinnamon and sugar together and just set that in aside because you're going to roll it in it later, but just have that ready to go. All right. So in your stand mixer, then, beat your churros mixture for about 1 minute on medium speed, and then beat in your eggs 1 at a time, scrape down your sides, of the bowl, and then just make sure those eggs are fully incorporated into that. At that point, you're going to transfer your mixture into a piping bag, and you want that large open star tip.
Okay.
But make sure you've got the large, because anytime when you're trying to squeeze dough through there, you've got to have the large opening on the tip.
Yes, that would be a mess if you didn't. Okay.
So while you've got the piping bag, just hold it a few inches above that hot oil. And I'm sitting here doing it with my hands.
She is, y'all. She's acting it out. I wish you could see it. It's amazing.
You're going to start piping that churro until they're about 4 inches long.
Well, you know, wait. Okay. Do you just do a strip?
Just a strip.
You don't do like a design. You just do a strip, right? Okay.
A strip, just a long.
You could do a heart for me, Joni.
I could do a heart for you. Okay. They go with churro's heart. Mm-hmm. You can have, if you've got like a clean pair of scissors there, you could clip it off with that, or you can just rake it off with the knife, however you want.
Okay. Cut it off and let it. Okay. So you've got these churro worms.
That's right.
In the pan.
That's right. And then you'll fry probably 3 to 4 minutes at a time until they're golden. You just turn them with your tongs as necessary and just keep cooking them until they are nice and golden. And then once you take them out of the oil, that's when you immediately want to roll them
in
the cinnamon sugar.
While they're hot, while they're kind of wet out of the, okay, then you roll them in the mixture.
And then you put them on the cooling rack and they are.
That sounds really good. I've never even attempted to make that.
Churros, yeah. It's really easy. It's not hard at all.
No, and it didn't sound too hard.
I mean, you can make your own whipping cream to dip them in, or you can do some sort of caramel or, you know, some sort of dip that you want to dip them in.
But there you go. Okay. Awesome. They're like Mexican donuts.
The name of my Spanish book in high school was Churros y Chocolate.
Oh, gosh. You and your Spanish class. I'm telling you what.
Senora Hanks. She was from Milan, Tennessee. That's how she taught us.
Que gusto mucho. What'd she say?
Que gusto jugar al football. Que gusto jugar
al churro. Okay. Gosh.
Churros y chocolate.
Churros y chocolate.
King of the Hill. It's like Peggy Hill teaching. Hey.
Oh, Shadow, we're sorry. It's just Joni.
I'll be in here.
Being the Spanish teacher.
Speaking Spanish, I guess.
Oh my God.
All right. Now, is it my top three?
Top three.
It is. It's yours.
Okay. So I am ready for this, right?
I'm ready too.
Hush. One, there is a sand cloud.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But they have, instead of hauling a towel around, they've made like a towel caftan.
And you kidding me?
Oh, yes. And yes, a towel. Yes.
Add to cart. Right.
Anyway, the cute patterns are gone. I'm waiting to see if they get them back in. But, there are some that I think that you'll really like because they're those black print things.
Oh, my word. That's what I have because I have one of their big blankets for the beach. Blanket towel, and they are great.
Well, now they've made, you know, you pull it over, and the one that I saw that I really liked, but it was gone before I ordered it, even had like, you know, the little crisscross rope at the top. You know what I'm talking about? Like you can string or whatever.
Oh, yeah, I do know what you mean. Yeah.
So, but they were out of that one, so I'm just kind of waiting.
Okay, they'll hopefully restock. Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm going to look immediately at those.
Okay. The second one is there's a book series that I really like. It's, by Colleen Cobble. I probably have talked about her before, because she does a lot of series books, but this series is the Tupelo Grove stories.
Ooh.
And, they're mysteries that she's a Christian writer, but it's fiction, you know, but they're mysteries. They are, and they're not mushy, you know, I mean, there's
right. They're lighter, but good little mystery stories with characters that are.
But I mean, it's hard. I mean, it's not loud. You know, sometimes your Christian fiction is very light. And this is that's some dark stuff.
Okay. So that gets more into it. Oh, goody. Okay.
Yeah, so that one. And then I forgot what my last one was.
Well, you've got two bangers. Right now you've got a caftan towel and a new book series of mysteries. Hello, Holly Poole. Hello, what I'm going to be doing. Do you have all those books? Do you have them all? So when I come and my caftan towel, I can read your books.
Agreed. Okay. Yes.
Perfect.
Here it is a Soul Rain. Have I done this one? I don't think I have a Soul Rain umbrella.
I don't remember if you have.
I did. I think I did the umbrella rack, maybe, but I bought a Sol Rain umbrella that I really like. So,
anyway, is it like a sun? What is it, like an umbrella for rain or like a?
Yeah, for rain.
Oh, a regular umbrella.
Yeah. But it's the stick umbrella, and it just, I don't know, it just, I just really like it. It's
okay.
Sturdy.
Okay.
It's windproof, and it's, you know.
So it's stick one. It's a little more substantial, kind of nice umbrella. A good umbrella is nice to have.
It is. I like a good umbrella.
I do too. Especially like if you go, I mean, anytime the little ones are great and they're easy, but like if you're going to any kind of event and there's weather, whether it's a funeral or a wedding or things, it's nice to have either a nice black or clear or just a nice sturdy umbrella.
Yeah.
I'm British. I'm British at heart.
Right. And that's it. And now
excellent.
Fry some burgers up.
Excellent. Those were very good top three. I'm going to go immediately and look at the caftans. I'm excited about the books. And if it rains, I will use your umbrella when I'm there. So thank you very much, everyone, for joining us. Hope you had a very good week. Hope you continue to have a good week and a good weekend. And we'll talk with you again next week. Until then, goodbye, Pellet.
See you, Petch. That's what I get.
Joni, you just saved the entire day.
I always get a notice that says
I'm so glad. Thank you. Please. I clicked it, but there's one more click and it was a different, and there was one more click to do and it's flashed right up on my screen going,
y'all almost did not get.
Almost didn't get an episode.
181 podcast.
No, because we're not doing it again. Lord knows. We screw. That's it. Joni's a superhero. She's a hometown hero today.
Hero.
Okay, back to what I was saying before I was so rudely interrupted by tech support.